The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
And welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. We are back with a show about New Japan Pro Wrestling. I am your host, Striga, and with me is my man from Tennessee. Actually, it's not that early in the morning hours as we usually did for some of our Patreon stuff recently. But Dylan, how are you doing?
You know, Strig, it's great to be here. It's great to be doing a show about New Japan. We've been doing some good stuff on our Patreon about New Japan, more retro style, mm-hmm. with our Week of Lariat, Shinya Hashimoto, covering his career. We're all the way up to day three of the week right now, and that'll continue for the next week. But now we're doing a big show for everybody right now. And I have to say, I'm about to go off, you know, off a tangent. We never talked about this at all. We didn't talk about anything. I mainly just bragged to you about my interview I did with Yappy, yeah. on the pre-show, more or less. But what I want to talk about to you right now, to kick off the show, because I have to mention this. There's something, when big things happen, you don't let it slide. You don't wait. You have to move it up to the top of the list. And I have to talk about the main event of the Noah Tag League show, Striga.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
It was the greatest. The greatest Kazuma Sakamoto match that there's ever been, ever.
It was amazing. That's totally true. I saw that match, I think, last week. It aired. Yeah. It aired, I believe. Yeah, it aired last week, and I watched it one day after the original airing. This yeah. match was incredible. It was Katsuhiko Nakajima and Go Shio Ozaki against Takashi Sugiura and Kazuma Sakamoto. And when you say best Sakamoto match in his career, you still have to point out that Sakamoto didn't do a whole lot in that match, but everything that he did was right on point.
That's true, and look at who his partner was. I think that could definitely have played a large role in that. You make a good point. I was trying to be nice, trying to give him some props, because this is somebody who's not known for having any kind of positive opinions showed his way.
Yeah, you know, but actually there I received some messages about that, and specifically one person was saying that they didn't check out the tournament as a whole because of Kazuma Sakamoto advancing to the finals. He doesn't have a very good reputation amongst fans, but in this case he was good.
Yeah, totally. I remember when he first started in K-Dojo. He was around when I first started watching wrestling back then. He was just Kazuma then.
Right. He didn't have Kazuma, and he had his finishing move was the AX Bomber, not the X Bomber. Capital A, capital X Bomber.
K-Dojo had interesting names for a lot of things back in those days. But it's just a crazy thing that this happened. And one of the best Noah Cork and Hall shows, main evented by Kazuma and Go and Nakajima.
Yeah, the best attended show since Takayama against Minoru Suzuki in 2015, I believe that was. So overall, a huge success for Pro Wrestling Noah. So if you haven't checked them out, it was really a fun time, this tournament. The YouTube show they put on from April 30, I don't know if you watched that. I didn't really enjoy that show. It dragged. It was in Yokohama Bunka, not in Yokohama Bunka, in Yokohama Radiant Hall. And it kind of dragged. But the final show was very good.
Yeah, the final match especially was go out of your way to see it. I'll talk more about Noah. I'll do a Patreon show about Noah.
Yeah,
I've had some fun wriggling around in my head about them, Dragon Gate even, on there. I've got all kinds of cool stuff planned for the Patreon. So double hype, but I also have to hype the match itself. You got to watch that Noah main event. Even if you hate Kazuma Sakamoto, trust me. The Axis team, they've captured my heart right now.
Axis is great.
Yes. And who would have... They finally found their way.
Yes.
Like, all this time. They finally found their way with them as a team. So I'm so happy to see that. And great news for Noah. Great things going on there. And like I said, I'll talk about it more later. But I had to bring that matchup with Kazuma in the first main event and the first part of this show today before we get into the Best of the Super Juniors, which has tons of interesting talking points, as always, in these tournaments. And I know that you couldn't wait to get to this. I know you've got some interesting hot takes on this, too, things that I wasn't expecting. I know I've said some stuff that maybe some people weren't expecting on Twitter. So I think we should go ahead and get right into it.
Well, since you mentioned that what you recently watched, I wanted to point out that I recently watched a Lucha Memes show in conjunction with the Lucha Libre Boom and MDA that is up on YouTube. That had some interesting matches with Charlie Rockstar against Virus, Aramis against Ares, and in the main event, Negro Casas against Trauma 2. So that was something totally different for me. I usually don't watch these weird smaller Lucha shows, but I kind of wanted to watch it, so it was a good time. 1 hour, 55 minutes up on YouTube. Check it out if you're into Lucha.
You never followed up on those IWRG channel I sent you?
No, I never did, no.
Oh, okay. That's okay. No, I warned you against that anyway.
Exactly. I asked Dylan if there is any IWRG show that I could watch, and he said, no. and so I just figured avoiding it would be better.
Yeah, I think I said, you don't want to do that. but I did send you the link if you were brave enough. Yeah, but you didn't pick it up. They actually did have a great match recently, though, in a main event.
Maybe another I'll check that out.
Yeah, I'll send you a link or something later. But yeah, check out our show, our Lucha Talk show, too. I'm more plugs right now in this opening segment.
More
but
plugs.
We did a Lucha draft on the show with 30 people. It was very good. Lots of IWRG guys picked, mostly CMLL guys. But there were some indie guys as well. I went pretty indie heavy on mine, actually, in there. But and there was only one member who had a dedicated women's division. Guess which one? On there. Everybody check that out. Check that out. I went for some surprise picks, some people you may not know. But my number, really my top five picks were all pretty freaking awesome. Well, I don't care about the rest, pretty much. That's how I approach my draft. Build the core and build around.
Exactly. That's a good way to build a roster, even in a draft. So, yeah, let's jump right over here to New Japan Pro Wrestling. We are in the middle of the Best of the Super Junior 2019, 6 of 15 days lie behind us, and we figured this would be a good moment to talk about the tournament because there won't be new shows for a couple of days from the point of our recording on Sunday now, so 6 days behind us. Dylan, what's your overall opinion of the tournament before we digest the tournament a little further?
Well, I think so far, I'm really kind of so-so on this tournament right now, I have to say. You know, I think they've had some really great highs, particularly early on in the A block. I really think the top two or three guys there are really shining bright. And then you have B block. The story to me continues to be this strange Taguchi main event push over Will Ospreay in B block that nobody can seem to explain, more or less than anything. But B block in general, I think, has there's been a lot of questionable decisions by a lot of people in B block right now. I think in A block, there have been some guys that actually have not really lived up to my expectations in that block either, to be honest with you. But it's still so early in the tournament, I don't want to write anybody off. But so far, I'm very lukewarm on this tournament from an in-ring perspective overall. But there are some high highs.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle as well.
Yeah.
Especially some of the main event matches, in my opinion, have not delivered at all. They dragged. They went so long for some of those matches, like almost 30 minutes, almost up to the time limit draw some matches went. And in some cases, the wrestlers that are used in this tournament are just not in the position to wrestle a good match with so much time. Most of those guys would fare much better if they just had shorter matches. Not like under 10-minute matches, but between 10 and 15 or something like that. And then you have those I don't know, Dragon Lee versus Show pops right up into my mind because I was really looking forward to the match and it just kept going and going and going and going. It ended up being a good match, but in my opinion would have been much better if it had been a shorter match. It went 27 minutes and 10 seconds. And I don't know, Dylan, the approach is very interesting. And you said B-block. For me, the overlying criticism that I have is that that oftentimes the semi-main events were much better than the main events that they booked. And that has in part to do with that, you mentioned, the strange Taguchi main event run.
Yeah, and I'm a fan of Taguchi.
Yeah, me too.
He just hasn't been put in maybe with the greatest opponents in terms of...
Yeah, exactly. You know, for example, today's show from the Sunday, if you get a graphic of the match Ryosuke Taguchi against Bushi, you pretty much don't have to watch the match because you exactly know what's going on. They will have a solid wrestling match, then Bushi will use his Black Mist, then he will use the Bushi roll and still don't win because Taguchi kicks out, and then Taguchi will win it from behind. And that's what always happens in Bushi singles main events.
I know. And same thing, you know, look at the people we've had on other main events. Dookie, Kanemaru main evented a show in A-Block.
And he actually did well.
That's debatable. But they, you know, all these guys that you really wouldn't think of as main eventers on here that maybe shouldn't be main eventers, I would argue definitely shouldn't be main eventers in all three of their cases.
Mm.
But, you know, I just don't know. I think that has a lot to do with it as well. Just like I said, the talent that they put in there is questionable that they decided to give a spotlight to. But it still is early. I can't blame them for wanting to give everybody a little bit of shine.
Yeah.
I'm a stringent believer in that anyway in a tournament. And I think everybody should at least get a chance to have at least a spotlight match of some sort. So I don't mind it on paper, but I don't think it's necessarily worked out. And I think your point about the long matches was good as well. And it's funny because Dragon Lee had that match they gave 27 minutes to. And I liked that match. I thought it came around by the end, but I get your criticism. And then Jonathan Gresham, which is another match I liked.
Yeah.
But it only went, 10 minutes.
Like chop seven minutes off the show match and give them to the Gresham match, and the Gresham match becomes an instant match of the year candidate. Questionable.
Yeah, exactly. See, so that's the crazy thing about it. I think both of those matches, like you just said, perfect point. Chop 7 minutes off show and give it to Gresham, and both matches would be better for
it.
And even though I like them both for what they were, but I think they could have been better in both cases for opposite reasons.
Yeah, so you talked about giving shine. Why don't we give a little shine here to some guys? Yeah. Tell me your top three matches up until now.
Top three matches. Number three. Now, this is interesting because this can go a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Really, there were two matches that stood out for me, like when you asked me that question, that like popped right in my head right away. The third, I'm debating over a couple, to be honest with you. Let's see. I kind of like the Ospreay-Yo match today.
Yes.
I will say that was up there, I think. A lot of people really praised the Taguchi and Yo match, but I didn't think that was as great as a lot of people, to say the least.
Me neither.
Like I said, I thought that was a questionable pick by some people. I really liked Rocky and Narita today. I thought they had a really good match, too, actually. Rocky, to me, is the standout players of this tournament so far, just to bring him up. I'd probably sell in one of those matches, but the big two matches would be Ospreay versus Rocky. That would be my number two. I think that was a great match. A standout performance for Rocky as well, who a lot of people were sleeping on in this tournament just because he's a manager. But you got to remember, this guy was a standout performer for a lot of years in Ring of Honor and everywhere. He worked all over the place in many different styles as well. So I was expecting some good stuff, but he really popped off early on with that Ospreay match. And obviously, to me, Show versus Shingo had to be a match of the year candidate in New Japan. I thought it was one of the best matches I've seen all year. So And it was a great way to start up the tournament. And again, funny thing is, that wasn't even the main event of the first show. You know,
just to keep this... Strange, right?
Yeah. You know, so it's kind of crazy how that happened. And I thought the main event of that show, it really didn't live up to my expectations compared to the much better one they had. You know, Ishimori and Dragon Lee, I thought the first match was a lot better that they had than this one. But it was just hard to follow up Shingo and Sho, though. They put him out to dry a little bit. And I, you know, just to diverge on a tangent a little bit, because I know the people kind of ripped that main event, but I like that they tried to make it different than their first match with the brawling things early on. Because it obviously is not as good, but I like that they at least tried to stylistically separate it. And it was in a tough spot because I think Shingo and Sho just blew the house down. The only criticism I have of that match, especially considering how things have turned out thus far, I think that match would have been amazing if it had been on the last day and something important had been on the line. I think that crowd would have been going in, and they were already super behind Sho. Yeah. But if that had been something important, this match would have like blown everybody's roofs off. It would have been a for sure match of the year candidate. I think that was the one thing missing from it, for making it like a 5-star type of match.
Yeah, another strange decision in this tournament, because usually, that's why in the preview episode I was so baffled and couldn't find the Shingo and Sho match, because I figured those matches are always placed on the last day of the tournament.
Yeah,
because they don't want to do semifinals, they do these kinds of matches, and now they had it on the first day, and as you pointed out, very good point on your part, that Ishimori and Lee had a tough time following Shingo and Sho, especially because the storyline between Shingo Takagi and Sho has been built so incredibly well that it is, in my opinion, the best storyline going on in New Japan this year.
Absolutely. Completely.
And Sho did so well on this match, playing the underdog, valiantly fighting against Shingo Takagi, who is put over so strongly. He's unbeatable in this tournament so far, and even in New Japan as a whole. And so this one is my favorite as well, and I think we have the same matches, because my second place match is Rocky Romero versus Will Ospreay, and I was debating whether to put it on top, because I didn't really expect that, and yeah. Seeing a match that great that you don't expect, that's something that puts that match in front. But here, I decided to put Shingo and Sho on top because the storyline was so great and played a huge part in this match. But Rocky and Ospreay, extremely well done, and great performance for Rocky to once again remind people that what you just said, that he is a great wrestler. He just doesn't often wrestle in singles matches these days, but here you can really feel that he really wants to do this, that he's in for a great time, and he's determined to have the best match every night. And I also liked Ospreay versus Yo from today. I thought the selling that Ospreay did was so great. Especially when he when he landed on his feet for the shooting star press and he sold it, I think you could really feel the pain that he is that he was portraying in that moment. So that those three really stood out to me, but I also want to shout out guys like Taka Michinoku and Tiger Mask, who are having good matches in the mid card portion of the tournament. Like, on the first day, Tiger Mask and Taka Michinoku. Extremely well-done match. Taka Michinoku, in my opinion, has been one of the best wrestlers in this tournament, because he also had this very good match against Jonathan Gresham, and he also had a match against Sho that I really enjoyed. Just no 27-minute matches, but 10-minute matches that follow a very good game plan, that have a clear storyline, and that have a clear approach to them. That's why I like Taka and Tiger Mask so much, because they really know what they want to do inside the ring.
The funny thing is, this happens every time they're in this tournament.
Yeah.
Like, we had the same conversation about Tiger Mask last year. Remember last year in the A block, it was kind of weak compared to the B block? You know, they had Ishimori, Ospreay, they also had... you know, Bushi was in there, Kanemaru, and these other guys. And Tiger Mask really always kept up his level of work throughout every match. And I think we're seeing it again. He delivers for what he's asked to do. He's not going to blow you away with match of the year candidates or anything like that. But Tiger's going to give you a solid effort, going to give you a great veteran presence throughout the tournament. And he gives you a good way to start off the show because he's often in the opening match or the second match. I thought his match with Kanemaru was way better than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the next guy that I wanted to bring up because we already had kind of a debate about him. I think that in comparison to what we're used to from Yoshinobu Kanemaru in New Japan Pro Wrestling, his role in the tournament has been to portray the veteran that is supposed to be a hurdle for younger guys. And in my opinion, he does better than he usually does.
I liked his match with Tiger Mask.
Yes.
Like I said. I thought the match with Titan was really weak, actually, to be honest with you.
They don't have any chemistry at all.
No, Kanemaru just doesn't have chemistry with anybody, I would say.
Well, I kind of liked the match with Shingo. Because they...
I know you're not the only one on this, but you can go ahead and explain your point. I know you're not the only one on this.
So we talked about the veterans. The veterans play a crucial part in this tournament as the standard bearer, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And the next point I wanted to bring up about this tournament as a whole is the ongoing storylines that are especially well portrayed if you follow along the English commentary, which I have been done constantly now for months in New Japan because it has been so outstanding. And we will talk about commentary later. And there are a lot of guys who have these kind of minor injuries that are significant, but not as significant that they would prevent them from wrestling. They want to wrestle their tournament matches, they want to pull through. And they, on commentary, Kevin Kelly and Caprice Coleman always highlight the injuries or the injury angles that they have. And in most of the matches, they play a role. Like even for Ospreay, for example, for Shingo Takagi, they played a role. And even in this match with Yoshinobu Kanemaru, it played a role. Because Kanemaru kept going back to the leg and kept being the exact heel that he should have been against Shingo Takagi. And Shingo Takagi had to come from behind and win this match. It was a very simple formula. I don't know if they necessarily had to do it in the main event of the show. I think that's kind of a criticism that this match was the main event of the show. But still, I thought Kanemaru played his role very well here.
You know, it just depends. You got to understand, with this kind of match, too, that they worked, your mileage is going to vary in terms of your shenanigan tolerance.
That's true. There
was like stuff with the chair almost right away. It came back in. Tai Chi was there, which automatically made me like drop this a star. Tai Chi was there. He gave him a chair at one point. The ref got bumped. It was just a lot of dumb crap to me that I don't want to see, especially not Shingo, who's one of the best workers in the tournament, in the main event as well, like you mentioned. So really, that's really what took it down for me more than anything necessarily that Kanemaru did skill-wise, just his style I don't like.
I can see that. Yeah. What did you make of the whiskey spot?
Where Shingo whiskeyed Kanemaru?
Where Shingo was expecting the whiskey to be gimmicked, but it wasn't.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what I said. I think I'd already pushed out of my memory.
Shingo took a sip out of the whiskey bottle that Kanemaru always has ringside, and he kind of choked on the whiskey. So apparently, I figured that he was thinking that it was mixed with water, but apparently it's just plain whiskey.
He's a whiskey enthusiast, Kanemaru is. I'm not surprised, considering how he wrestles. that's my gimmick. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of his, but if you like that stuff, then I could definitely see you liking that match. It was probably one of the better versions of that match they could have, because they had fun stuff like that with Shingo. And when Shingo ran wild, it was awesome. So, you know, you can never count that. And really, that whole show, Like I said, I thought that whole show, Lee Gresham and Ishimori Titan, were both kind of not as good as I had hoped they would be, because when you see those matches on paper, you think it's like a match of the year caliber match, but both of them win about 10 minutes for whatever reason, and then they saved it for the main event, and that only went like 15 minutes or so, but...
Yeah, 15.
It was just an interesting way to go about it on there. So it just depends on your tolerance for Suzuki-gun crap, more or less.
Yeah. Let's talk about the ongoing storylines a little bit more.
Yeah, go on.
I really enjoyed them in the Jonathan Gresham and Dragon Lee match. Jonathan Gresham is so good at continuing storylines, and Jonathan Gresham is also so good at these minor details. In most of his matches, he went for the Manjigatame to win the match. It didn't happen for him yet that he won the match with the Manjigatame. But... Or did he beat Taka with the Manjigatame? I'm not sure right now.
Yeah, he beat Taka.
Yeah, with the Manjigatame, right. And then he tried to use the Manjigatame on Dragon Lee. But of course, Dragon Lee had it scouted because... Jonathan Gresham beat Taka with the Manjigatame, and with one little arm movement, Dragon Lee was able to avoid the Manjigatame and to get back into action to finish him with the Nukadora powerbomb. So that's one of the ongoing themes besides the obvious injury storylines. So if you really follow those mid-card matches closely, you'll see ongoing themes, and that's one of the best parts of this tournament, and that's why on our last show when we previewed it, I said that I really like that they have put this tournament on a similar level as the G1 Climax in when you talk about manpower in the tournament, because you really get to see a lot. You can really dive into a lot. You can sink your teeth into one singular performer and follow him all along, or even watch everything. And that, then, again, is one of the cons that I have for the tournament, because it's very time-consuming, Dylan.
Yeah, you know, I really don't mind a lot of these five-match shows and stuff like that for the tournament. If you're trying to watch everything, it's going to be even tougher. But the only thing is, I hopefully they got through a lot of this early stuff where the 25-minute matches and stuff like that. I think that might have worn on you a little bit.
Yes.
Overall, because that was your criticism early on, so I think it makes sense that you would feel that way. But I'm not really tired yet. I just question some of the matches right now. I think if business can pick up soon, I think I'll still be into it. Right now, I may agree with you in 4 or 5 days, but right now I'm not quite tired out yet. I'm not feeling any burnout or anything like that. So that is one positive for the tournament, I have to say. Very few things have been truly bad either, I feel like. Outside of someone, like I said, in this tournament, there's been nobody that I really peg as, you know, dragging things down too much, really in each block. Oh, there was one match I know that really we have to talk about with your criticisms of it. I think I just got tired of this tournament just even thinking about it, now that it popped into my head. The Marty Scurll versus Taiji Ishimori match.
Oh boy,
this was the worst match of the tournament. I thought on day three too, right below the Dragon Lee. I think that may be why you didn't like Dragon Lee's show as much too, because it followed that horrendous Ishimori Scurll match.
It was so boring.
Yes,
we get a boring 22 minute match, and then we get a okay to good, in my opinion, 27-minute match. Maybe if I'll watch Dragon Lee and show again isolated from any other matches, I'll like it better. But I was so tired after the Ishimori and Skrull match.
Nobody blame you. They killed the crowd, too.
Yeah. Oh, the crowd. Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this isn't the first time Skrull's done this. If you remember All In with Okada, and we saw it again, and even Ishimori was well below his standards here. He actually botched a few different things in this match, blew things off. I just thought this was a really bad match, I have to be honest with you. There's no real nice way to say it.
Yeah.
And very surprising that Ishimori would sink to these levels. Somebody that I've been one of his biggest fans of this year. I think he's been arguably the best person in New Japan for the first 4 months, but so far in this tournament, it has not come out, and that match was a very low point in his whole career, probably, I would say.
So, yeah. Who has been the best performer, in your opinion?
If you just go
by the matches that we mentioned, it would have to be Will Ospreay, right?
That's what I was thinking. Shingo stood out from a star perspective. Sho, I really liked. I like the Dragon Lee match a little better than you, but I agree with your points on it, though. I think Ospreay, from these first six nights, I think he's been the man right now. That match with Rocky was great. Loved the match versus Yo as well. What was his other match that he had? Because I think he had another one on there. Bushi. Even Bushi.
Yeah, that Bushi match, right.
Yeah, that was a good match. That was one of Bushi's better matches. Similar to last year's match with Ishimori versus Bushi.
Mm-hmm.
That I thought was well above his standards. And I thought Bushi here went well above his standards as well. So Ospreay, yeah, I think you got to give it to him on the tournament right now.
And he's also doing a good job in the undercard matches. Yeah. I watched the first day in completion, and there he faced Bushi and Tetsuya Naito in a tag match. And he teamed with Toa Henare. And he had some very good interactions with Tetsuya Naito as well there. So, in my opinion, clearly, the best performer in the tournament yet is Will Ospreay.
I will say this. I don't know if you agree with this point or not, but I think Shingo comes across as the biggest star in the tournament.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, I think Ospreay's had a better tournament in-ring-wise, but I think Shingo, he's really showing his worth right now to this junior division as a whole in terms of an all-around presence, in my opinion. But so those two were the two that stood out to me right away.
Yes, so about Will Ospreay, since we're on the topic of him.
Yeah.
I think that him being so good in this tournament is that he's doing that out of despite.
Yeah. He must have listened to our last show.
Exactly. And Jamesy already brought it up on Twitter as well, and WH has been talking about that as well. I just have to seek out the conversation here. So WH on Twitter said, New Japan has some interesting flex in putting Will Ospreay's main event level matches in the semi-main event spot for Taguchi's comedy matches. Jamesy said that we talked about that exact point on our last show. It feels weird to have Ospreay in these situations, and especially the Rocky match didn't really strike me as a match that could have went over 20 and be so good at it. And on commentary and on the English commentary, they always point out that Will Ospreay wants to do it all and wants to be a junior heavyweight and a heavyweight at the same time, and that kind of makes sense with him being in the Never division. But again, then it doesn't make sense because he's not the Never champion anymore. The push that we expected from Will Ospreay earlier this year and that I still expected going into this tournament is kind of it felt kind of flat. Because you really don't know where they are going with him. Earlier this year, it was very clear where they were going with him. To be the clear star of the Never division and to give a proper meaning to the Never division. But now, he's just everywhere. And it feels like that he's there to put over other guys and not there to be put over himself. That said, I still expect him to have a great summer in the G1 and then be put over strongly. But it still leaves a little bad taste in my mouth, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just what I said last week, our last episode. You mentioned that everything would be okay if he has a good G1,
yes.
Pretty much. Yeah. And I don't like that thinking, that you could just have... Basically, he had one big moment versus Ibushi on January 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's been all downhill
at
this moment. So I don't really like that idea. Similar to Naito, we talked about in the Intercontinental title. Just because you push him, I don't like that has suddenly become a get-out-of-jail-free card for bad booking.
Mm-hmm.
for half the year. Now the G1 can come and everything's great again. Which we don't even know with Ospreay, even though we think it's still. I don't think anybody's changed their mind that he'll be in the G1 yet. It's just really strange to me that the idea that this is someone that they have plans for, and yet he's not a main eventer over Taguchi and Dookie? You know, like if he were, could you imagine if, let's just say he is the G1. Can you imagine, you know, Kazuchika Okada getting put below Yujiro versus Yano in a main event? You know?
Well,
that would make no fucking sense, would it?
Since they, no, it wouldn't make sense. But no. there have been more, there have been some strange decisions in G1 main event matches before, Dylan. You know that too.
No, not with Okada.
Not on that level. That's true.
Yeah, not with Dookie. Not with Dookie right now. But the thing is, my point on that is not that they never make strange decision otherwise. What I'm saying is, if they see him as a main eventer, would they do this? And like, that's what you have to look for sometimes. That's how I read into their booking, is between the line stuff, not necessarily, oh well, he didn't main event over Dookie, it's all over. Like, that's not what I mean. I'm saying, would they do this if they saw him as this big star? Which is very interesting to me. And maybe they do, but that brings the question why things have happened, how they've happened these last, and not just now, like we said, the last 6 months. Losses to Switchblade Jay White, lost to Jeff Cobb, and now he's in the Best of Super Juniors. He hasn't lost yet, so that is one good thing on the point, and maybe they're just bubbling him up. But I really felt like him being in this tournament was unnecessary for him or in his character, except to be a main eventer to carry B-Block, because they really don't have any stars in B-Block. If you look at that group, who is the main eventer in B-Block? You know?
Yeah.
Outside of him. Yeah, see? So, and I thought he would carry that and carry that to the big final match, which you need a big match to fill. They've already tried to stack it up with Switchblade versus Tanahashi in a big match. They want a big match in the finals. And they need his star power, which is what I thought they would think. And I don't even necessarily buy into him as a star. You got to keep in mind, I'm not his biggest fan at all. But considering what they did with him, this push makes no sense in my opinion. And I can't quite fathom what it is. The only thing that could come to my mind is that there's something going on that we don't know about behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the
point. And he's a personality, you know, he's not everybody's cup of tea as a human being. And it's easily imaginable that he rubs someone the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And that's just purely speculation on my part. But I could definitely see a situation like that happen where there was a code, something that we don't know about, and here we are now, and where Dookie's in the main event. over him.
Yeah.
I can't get over that. I can't get over Dookie in the main event. That's true.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Let's talk about him in a bit. Just to the Osprey point.
Yeah.
We pointed that out last week, as you said. It's really striking how they use him. So I just can't believe that they just did it, and this was their original plan to go with him like this. I just can't. So maybe we'll find out in a bit.
Yeah, and he has won all his matches. You know, like that's the only thing I can think of. But I don't want to go too crazy on it.
Yeah,
I
know what you mean.
Yeah. No, I don't want to go too crazy on it. But I did. I've noticed it all along this whole tour. And it just brings me back to my point that I made for the last week or so about Ospreay, and that's what I kind of thought of going in. But he's had great matches, though. And like you said, maybe that has motivated him in some weird way to have these strong standout performances. Because like you said, he's been one of the top stars of the tournament so far. So you have to give him credit for it, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because he could pout and just not, you know, if this does bother him, and again, we're speculating at this point. If this is something that bothers him, a lot of guys that get in that same position would rein it in and not maybe not give the max effort and go above on Call of Duty. But he's doing it, so you have to give him that much.
Exactly. So the name has been mentioned quite a few times from you already here. Next topic I wanted to discuss with you is the replacements. I don't think there is anything to criticize about putting Ren Narita in the tournament. All his matches have been good. I really like the Rocky Romero match. and overall, very good impression. And to me, the addition of Renarita was the easiest way to get out of a uncomfortable situation, because I don't expect Narita to win a single match. And so they just went to the easy way to have the young lion in the tournament, and just everybody gets 2 points more. So that's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't sense any criticism from you in regards to Renarita.
No, I actually think he's been one of the top three performers in B block. He's besides him and Rocky, he's the one that's really made a good impression on me for B block. I love what he's doing. And despite everything, you know, he's not going to win any matches, but I still think he is going to – this performance that he's giving throughout the tournament will only help his cause going forward. So I'm very happy to see him in the tournament, and he's my favorite of all the young lines too. So I'm really pulling for this guy, and I think he's doing a great job so far in the tournament as well. And only getting better. Each match has been better than the last as well. So I look forward to what he's going to do throughout.
So let's then talk about Doki. And I know that you don't like shenanigans, so I'll let you go first.
No. I know. Right away, I had some alarms ringing when his promo had Tai Chi in it, his debut. So I thought, And I kind of anticipated it, putting him in there for Desperado. And he's kind of, you know, he's kind of like a super indie version of Desperado in some ways. Like, very indie. I cannot emphasize this enough. Like, Dove Pro Desperado should be a nickname.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like, right?
That's my guy.
DPD is right now. That's a better name than Duke. You know, so. But yeah, you know, I was kind of interested in him because he's wrestled in Lucha Libre for forever now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the backstory they gave him, where he was kind of tagged as a more or less a representative of Mexico that hates these Japanese guys who wrestle in Mexico and then come back. I thought that was an interesting storyline. But when I first saw him against Narita, I thought, okay, this was a decent little match. I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't give me reason to be excited or critical. You know, I thought he was just a solid match.
Exactly, yes.
The Taguchi match. This is where again, much like the Kanemaru match, I think it's going to depend on your love of shenanigans. But I will say this, unlike the Kanemaru match, because I know a lot of people like that, after the first show, I saw a ton of people online. Dookie's great. Like, he's the man, great character work.
As you said, there was no reason for either way.
Well, I saw a lot of one way on that one. But then after this Taguchi match, it was radio silence about Dookie being this great worker that supposedly everyone had loved so much after the first match. The second match with Taguchi, a lot of those people suddenly went a little quiet after that one. And I will say, I do think that there are still some Dookie fans left, and I think the cross-section of them and Tai Chi fans is very high. And you know where I stand on this.
I know, and you know where I stand on this.
Well, the thing is, you're coming down. You're coming around on Tai Chi. You were coming around before. Where did we lose you again?
No. I don't know what it is about Tai Chi. I really can't explain what it is. But maybe it's just the reason that everybody hates him. That's why I maybe am into some of his matches. And sometimes he's even good, but in most cases he's not. But he's more of a meme than a wrestler, you know.
That's an interesting way to look at it. I will say this: he's one of the rare people. I actually enjoy him more when he does goofy shit.
Exactly.
Than when he tries to wrestle like Kawada, which I have absolutely no time for.
And that's when I enjoy him too.
Yeah, when he wrestles with Kawada, he's offensively bad. And when he's goofy shit, it's like, I don't like you at all, but I know some people are into this, so I just kind of hand wave him, more or less. And Dookie, what has he brought to the table to him so far? Because I think he's an interesting case, because his wrestling itself is really not that great, like, to be honest with you.
I believe he's a solid wrestler. That's what I think he is. So the reason why I think people went out and said, hey, he's actually great, is a bit the appeal of the unknown, I guess. Because I don't know if you had ever seen a Doki match before. I think I had seen one on K-Dojo before.
That's true. He wrestled very rarely, sporadically, on Japanese indies.
Yeah, mostly those tiny indies. He's been on Michinoku Pro recently, one show that made tape that I haven't seen yet is the Michinoku Pro show from April 13. Doki and Musashi, the former Daichi Sasaki.
He's good.
Yeah, he's very good. They teamed against Kenbei and Rase, so that should be a fun match that I'm going to seek out. He wrestled on the Takatakichi Mania shows, but that's about it. So there is hardly any video evidence of him earlier than this year. There is one match from 2017 from Japan, Freedoms, Doki and Yuyu Suzumu against Katsuhiro Tamura and Masamune. But other than that, there is hardly video evidence. He even once faced the big guns, I see here. Los Japonesos del Mal, Daisuke Hanaoka and Doki faced Bodyga and Zeus on the Ethereum Mexico show in 2017. So I think it's much of the appeal of the unknown why people wanted him to be good. Then some people saw the Taguchi match and changed their mind, because as you, maybe they don't really like these shenanigans that they had in the match. In my opinion, the match, I wouldn't call it a great match or anything like that. It's not like that. But in my opinion, they went out to put heat on Doki. And that's what they wanted to achieve in that match. And in my opinion, that worked out, because they wanted him to be in a similar role as Taichi. And that's what they did in this match. So for that, I think the goal they had was achieved, in which that is why I didn't hate the main event that they had.
And that brings in the question of why? why in the main event? Doki is not coming back, in all likelihood, to this company.
Probably not.
Yeah. You know, and he's in the main event over that amazing Osprey and Rocky match. I don't know. I don't know. Even that, I have to... You may be right about that, but I just question how smart that is in the grand scheme of things. But I don't know. And Taguchi hasn't really been delivering too much either in the main events, in my opinion. So it wasn't that good of a match to me. And Doki, I think he does... I think the thing he does good is I kind of like his character. You know, I think it's good to have somebody different.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. He has a character.
Yeah, I don't mind a character worker. In ring, you know, he just doesn't do a lot for me. I got to be honest with you. He blew some spots, even in that Narita match.
Yeah, the DET looked bad, right?
Yeah. You see, he's really, like, just like I said, he is an indie as indie can be.
Certainly.
Unrefined, does goofy stuff, has a garbage look. But I think the look actually works for him in this tournament. The wrestling is where I have the problem.
He has to have a garbage look, because he's with a garbage person like Taichi.
That is true. Taichi. But even Taichi has like a really, you know, cool kind of look to him, I feel like.
But he has some years of mainstream wrestling behind him. Doki hasn't, so...
But I think even if he had the option of getting great gear or whatever, this would be good, too. In its own way, because like I just said, it differentiates him from these other guys. Like Yo, to me, his look sucks.
Dylan, if this were Pokemon, Doki would be the first level of a Pokemon. Well, he would be Dokimon, and Dokimon would evolve to Taichi.
I can buy that. So I think that's a good point. You know, maybe Digimon. Potentially, you know, it depends on what. To me, he's too trashy to be a Pokemon. Digimon can get a little bit more grimy than Pokemon. So that's what I'm going to go with. Doki.
Yeah, maybe. I think you see the point that I'm making, that they are so similar in their approach to their character work and their wrestling.
Yeah, you know, and I think if you like Tai Chi again, I think you could. I could definitely buy you liking Dookie, but not me though. Like I said, that's the problem. Ultimately, you know, and I don't think that match. I will say too, I think the Bandido match was a little better than the first two, but he's not.
I really like the Bandido match.
Yeah, a 10-minute match. Bandido, you know, he's an interesting guy in and of himself. He's a new performer in the tournament. Had some ups and downs so far, yeah. I would say. But I thought that was a solid match for both men overall. So I can't rip Dookie too much. I thought he maybe. And plus, remember, you got to understand too. He's never even dreamed of being in a
no
as New Japan. So there could have been some nerves to it. The more I talk about it, the more I don't want to completely write him off. I just thought the Taguchi match was pretty bad. In all honesty, and I thought he didn't look good against Narita. I think Narita really made that match what it was. And Dookie, I want to see what he does throughout the tournament, but I'm not completely writing him off. If he keeps up this Suzuki-gun stuff, which I do think he will, unfortunately, if he does keep the Tai Chi stuff up, I probably won't like them personally, but I think there are some people that will be into him. And maybe you're one of them, Striga.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. So far, I kind of liked half of his performances. As I said, the Bandido match that he had today, I really liked the match. Because Bandido and Doki, they work a similar style, and that worked out today. For some other wrestlers, as you already said, the mix of styles hasn't been so fortunate. In your opinion, who are the guys that haven't performed on the level that maybe we expected going in?
Disappointment so far, to me, would have to be Ishimori. I don't think he's really lived up to the hype, but that's only because my expectations were so high. Titan as well,
yeah.
But I expect him to do better as the tournament goes along. I feel like he got kind of a tough break during Kanemaru the first day.
Yeah.
He needs to have some people he can mix it up with better. And Ishimori, I wonder if there's an injury or something with him, because I haven't been into any of his matches to the level I thought I would have been. So far.
I believe they mentioned something about an injury as well. So. Yeah. Might have been.
It's a real life injury, not just a story.
Yeah.
You know, besides those two, everybody's really into Eagles right now, but I think I'm just a little bit shy on him, a little bit gun shy on Eagles right now. I like what he's done for the most part, but he hasn't stood out to me on the level of some other ones.
Yeah, let me put it this way. For Eagles,
yeah,
we were really down on him before the tournament started, and I'm kind of warming up to him, but still I'm not sure what this guy is supposed to be, so we'll wait until the tournament is over to really make an assessment of him.
And I think Narita really, again, just like the Dookie match, I think Narita really made that match, in my opinion, with his performances. Not that Eagles did bad, but I thought Narita really elevated that to be much better than I thought it would be. And those guys worked really well, I thought, together. But Eagles, I'm still, like I said, I think I'm exactly like you said. I'm kind of warming up to him. Okay, let me put it this way. I like him better than Phantasmo so far.
Yeah,
like Phantasmo, you pegged him for the finals, and I hope that does not happen based on.
So you mentioned Titan, and I really expected him to have a good tournament, but that may still happen with better opponents coming his way.
He's already faced Shingo and Ishimori, though, two of the top stars.
That's true, and those matches didn't really stand out.
No, even the Shingo match didn't stand out.
No.
You know, like you would have thought it was. And that seemed like a great opponent for him stylistically. And Ishimori was his best opponent stylistically. So I don't know what that's all about, to be honest with you. Titan, and he's coming off an amazing run with Cavernario as a tag team, where he was super over in Mexico, had a great match in the finals of the Parejas and Crables tournament. Well worth seeking out, but right now it just hasn't come together in A Block. And I think that's a big part of why we just mentioned these two names, Ishimori and Titan, two of my favorite wrestlers in the tournament, and even Shingo. Your mileage may vary on the Kanemaru match, but the Titan match wasn't that great. So, you know, you have to really buy into the show match, which I do, but these guys haven't really been carrying the load as well as I would have thought going into it. It's been more guys like Ospreay that I like, you know, more so, and Rocky that have stood out.
Yeah, and I I haven't liked El Fantasmo at all so far.
No.
See, I made the point about the veterans earlier with Taka and Tiger Mask. You exactly know what you get, and they have their match style down. And for Fantasmo, I feel like he wants to impress. And I believe that him wanting to impress kind of takes away him having a well-thought-out match. For example, the match that he had with Robbie Eagles. The idea behind it was, okay, they are both in the same stable and they still cheat against each other. But they then also went out to do these weird high spot moves all the time.
Yeah,
it didn't really come together for me so far what El Fantasmo is trying to achieve in this tournament, and that's why I kind of have him in the disappointment range. And from block A,
hey, let me say one thing on Fantasmo. How great is Ospreay again in that match that introduced Fantasmo? Tag match.
He worked so great.
Yeah, exactly. Because everybody was super on board with him right after that. And even I thought he looked great in his debut. It just hasn't come together so far in the tournament.
No. And if I had to name one person from block A, I can't really say that this guy is a disappointment for me, because I didn't expect a lot going in. But when you consider the level of the other performers in block A, I think Marty Scurll is on the bottom of block A.
When's he going to AEW? Is what I know. Get him out of here. I'm not a fan of his at all.
I don't expect him to go to AEW in like very soon. I don't know.
Please leave, Marty. Like I said, don't come to New Japan. This is not your style of wrestling, brother. Like I said, I haven't liked any of his matches. And going in, I can't call him a disappointment. Going in, he was my... I think I'd put him over below Kanemaru in A block right now. Like I said, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because his match with Gresham, that was a solid little match. You know, Gresham I expect more from. You know, Skrull, the next match with Ishimori I thought was horrible. Probably the worst of the tournament so far. And then his match with Tiger Mask was a totally mediocre match as well. So, just not a big fan of his anyway, but definitely, if you think that he's a great worker, then I think you might be disappointed with his output. Because it's not even come close to coming together for Marty Scurll so far. And
no.
I'm not a fan of his. So but more to say. Stay Ring of Honor, AEW, you know, wrestle in Brazil, wherever you want to go. Just stay away from Best of Super Juniors. That's my opinion on Marty Scurll.
So I specifically wanted to point out Jonathan Gresham here, because I was expecting him to have a good tournament, and so far he did have a good tournament. It's not like he really has put on a match of the year candidate so far, but again, could have had if this one match against Dragon Lee would have gone longer. So far he faced Marty Scurll, and to be honest, that probably was Marty Scurll's best match in the entire tournament.
No probably about it. I think that was, without question, the best match compared to the Ishimori.
And then he faced Takamichi Noku. Again, a very well laid out story. Dragon Lee, well laid out story. So Jonathan Gresham is totally on par when it comes to his block.
Yep.
And he still has some great matches left. So we'll be watching out for that. I'm especially looking forward to Gresham and Titan.
Yeah, I like to see more of him, because like you said, he's kind of not really even been given a chance to have this blowaway match. I feel like if they give him the time, he can get it done.
Yes.
So
he just needs a chance, right?
Yeah. And even what we've seen from him in these shorter matches, you could tell he's good.
Yes.
You know, like if you watch the matches, it's not even a question. So it's just only a matter of how far they let him go, more so than his talent, because I think he's already proven his worth many times over in this tournament.
Right. Next point, English commentary. I'm really high on the duo that they have right now with Kevin Kelly and Caprice Coleman. I think Caprice Coleman has been an outstanding addition to the commentary booth, and I totally didn't expect it. I know him from Ring of Honor, of course, and he does a good job there, But the way he announces and the way he performs in commentary, in my opinion, is outstanding, especially because he adds what was kind of missing with recent commentary teams that Kevin Kelly had. For example, the commentary team that he and Excalibur did was weird because they are kind of both play-by-play guys, and Kevin Kelly had to find a different role in that commentary team because Excalibur was doing the play-by-play. But here, Caprice Coleman is clearly doing the color commentary role and adding some very fun lines to the English commentary. For example, when someone gets chopped, he has this great... I don't even want to try to make an impression of it. He does this "Oh my God" sequence, yeah, where he just... It's a mix of singing, crying, and shouting, and I really can't even make it. So Caprice Coleman, in my opinion, is great, and he's working hard. He's worked himself into this position that he is right now in, and it probably isn't easy to come into a promotion that I'm not sure how much he followed New Japan before, but even if he followed New Japan, it still takes a lot to be a commentator and be that good right off the bat.
I thought he added a lot to that Shingo and Show match, especially. Oh, yeah. I thought he really stood out in that match. I like what he's been doing on commentary. He brings a level of excitement where it's like he calls it like he thinks it's real. You know, that's
he
that's
gets
like
so excited.
A, yeah, exactly. Like, he makes you want to believe in it, you know, in a weird way. He has a lot of good one-liners. He's been polishing that in Ring of Honor as well. That's kind of his style there, to a more toned-down extent. But basically, he'll throw a lot of things out. Some things will hit, and some things will fall flat. But some things will hit. And I think that's a good way to think, especially for a guy that's been practicing and honing it. You know, because he started out as a wrestler, not a commentator. So he's really been getting better over the years. And I think he's really, like you said, teaming with Kevin Kelly has really let him get out of his shell. And calling this great New Japan product on the tournament, I think he's gotten really excited seeing these new spaces and a new style and a new setting that's really gotten him really excited compared to his normal stuff in Ring of Honor. And I think that's really helped him, and he's helped the show in return.
And one thing that him and Kevin Kelly have done so well too, I think it was Chris Charlton on that matter, is how Kevin Kelly and Chris Charlton highlighted the strange story of Doki before he came in, and so they added a lot to the appeal of this guy as well. So overall, whether it is Caprice Coleman, whether it is Chris Charlton, they've done a very good job so far for the tournament, and I will definitely follow along with the English commentary because, as you said, it adds so much for the understanding of every single match. And Kevin Kelly pointed that out on earlier interviews, that he requested to be on the bus with the wrestlers, with the English-speaking wrestlers at least. And they sometimes tell him some storyline elements that he can use for his commentary. You can really see that this added a lot to his commentary.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it comes through. I think he's a passionate guy, and I think that's one of the most important things to have when you're commentating a product, is to make sure that you're into it, because if you're into it, you're the voice of the show. That'll help some people that maybe are on the fringe. Maybe if it was a more laid-back commentator, maybe the viewers would be a little bit more laid-back with them. But when you've got this excitable commentator, it makes you want to get excited a little bit more than if somebody was a golf announcer, pretty much. So, you know, he's doing a good job. I like what he's doing on what he's bringing to the table as well. I liked Excalibur when he was there. I thought he did a great job, but that kind of toned down Kelly. I really liked Kelly and Rocky, but that obviously wouldn't happen in this tournament when he's wrestling. So I think this is probably the best. He's the best partner that he's had since Rocky left, in my opinion.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah. One other thing that I wanted to bring up is that they have tried to make this tournament bigger. And they've tried to not make it as big as the G1 Climax, but to make it at least a bit comparable to it. And in my opinion, so far, that has failed. If you look at crowds, the crowds have not been great. for some buildings. They ran some buildings that they always run for G1 Climax shows as well, and they have drawn 800 to 900 people less than they usually do for the bigger G1 Climax shows. It's clear that the G1 Climax is bigger, but I believe that they expected this tournament to do better. And if you look at the recent events that they had this weekend for the show, today they drew 1,101 fan. They drew 1,213 for the show on Saturday, 1,403 for the Aomori show, which was one of the best draws so far, if I'm not wrong here. Yeah, 1,630 in Sendai as well, and still Sendai is the arena that I just mentioned with 900 more for G1 Climax shows. So I believe it would still be a success on the box office, but I think they expected it to do better.
Well, I just look at the final building they're running, and you can tell that that's pretty much. I don't think that's any case. And to be honest, they had a ton of momentum for the junior heavyweight, specifically with that great Dragon Lee Ishimori match that main evented a show that did really well.
Yes.
So it's kind of, but at the same time, look at these main eventers that they're running out here. You know, again, I don't want to keep belaboring this point, but you've got guys like Taguchi versus Yo, night two. Night four, Taguchi versus Dookie. Night five, Shingo versus Kanemaru. Night six, Taguchi versus Bushi. You know, I don't want to point the finger at anybody, but a lot of those names I just said do not strike me as box office legends, to say the least, on there. So, and I really think that if they maybe plan this all out a little better in terms of adding more star power to even things out into B block, to where you don't have to main event Taguchi every night, I think that might have helped a little bit. I think, you know, I don't know. I do agree that the tournament's smaller, but I have to admit, I praised them on the last episode. I never praised them before because I think they did it. I completely feel justified in saying they didn't do a good job when I criticized them before for the juniors. But I praised them before. I thought they did a great job in 2019 with the great Ishimori reign. And it just hasn't paid off right now. And I don't know what that'll be, but I think we may see a turnaround when we get to some matches where maybe Shingo main events a show and things like that. That's what I want to keep an eye on more or less. And Ishimori, I don't know what he's up to right now on there with his injury perhaps. But I think once him and Shingo get into that main event, I think things will look a little better. And I think it would have been interesting for Ospreay too, be in main events, even if they're whatever reasons they have to not main event him. If they do have plans for him as a heavyweight, this would be a good test for him to see if he can bump things up a little bit more as a main eventer. Because I don't know if they have any big plans for Taguchi in G1 that we don't know about, or know. If they do, hey, he was in the New Japan Cup. Like, why not bring him in? Put him in there, but. I really think that was a mistake not having Ospreay main event some of these shows in terms of just to give him a test. Because I think if that had done better than expected, you can point to that and say something. And if it hadn't have done as good as expected, maybe that would justify whatever these feelings are that makes them hold him back for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how that continues. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up that struck you so far, that surprised you, that you expected? Anything else?
What'd you think of Bushi in this tournament?
Bushi's Bushi.
He's you know him.
Yeah. I just laid out the entire match story for Taguchi and Bushi, and you know what you're getting from Bushi. Bushi is not bad, but Bushi is not outstanding. With very good guys, he will have a very good match. With okay guys, he will have an okay match. He's not someone who elevates the match quality by himself, but he's a good player that you can have in addition in this tournament that delivers points for the guys that will in the end wrestle for the victory.
He's kind of like a warm body who occasionally
wow.
Yeah, he has a cool mask, you know.
Yeah,
and, you know, like I always call him. I say he looks like Rey Mysterio and wrestles like Randy Orton. That's what I think of Bushi. And they throw in the mist on top of it to give him a heel tactic. Oh, one more person, because we kind of briefly touched on him. But how do you think Bandido's done in this tournament so far?
I thought the match with Doki he had today was good. Other than that, he has been okay. But again, we're only 6 shows in, so 3 matches in for each performer. Yeah. That can still get better for some people and still get worse for some as well.
Yeah, I think he's been very okay. I think the Phantasma match was pretty mediocre, all things considered. The Yo match was better, great.
Phantasma match especially, that was what I earlier said about Phantasma not really wrestling a match that guys like Taka or Tagamas would wrestle. Him and Bandido came across more like a performance than a wrestling match.
Totally. And even the Bandido and Yo match felt like that to me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I didn't think that.
And we haven't even shouted out Yo yet so far.
He's the one we forgot.
Yes, we forgot Yo because I had a point about him earlier when we talked about Osprey. When we talked about the disappointments in the tournament, I was ready to bring up Yo up until the match that he had with Osprey today.
Yeah, and today was a great match. Sorry.
Yeah, but I just like you, I didn't like the Taguchi match. So in my opinion, he hasn't had a good tournament so far. So I really hope for him that he'll be able to get some better matches because otherwise he might fall behind. Comparison to his tag partner.
Oh, I said it last week. He's already fallen behind. After that match with Sho and Shingo, Sho was already, to me, one of the top people in this tournament. And Yo, the thing about Yo is, I like him in his own way. He's a solid wrestler. But there's nothing to me when he wrestles that I feel like is special about him. Hmm. He comes across as just a guy. And just like I said earlier, look at his gear. There's nothing that says star about him when he walks out to the arena, in my opinion. He doesn't have good presence. He's just a solid wrestler. Like, that's kind of how I think of him. He's like a solid hand to be in the undercard. The match with Ospreay really stood out, I thought. And Ospreay's been killing it in this tournament. I'll give him credit for that. Yo, he looked good. I think he's got a lot of talent. But I think he needs to go back to the drawing board on a few things. Not wrestling-wise, just in terms of how he presents himself. That I think if he went back to the drawing board, that would help him a lot because he's not getting the storyline push Sho is, against someone like Shingo. And I think that's the problem with Yo right now. He's just kind of the other guy in the tag team. And now that he has the singles push, and look at another thing, Sho come out, new music, everything, looks like a star, crowd super into him. Yo, he's just the same Yo that we've seen,
Did you hear how they explained that?
How did
the commentary, they explained that Rocky kind of wants Yo to use the Roppongi 3K music, but Sho can do whatever he wants. So that's sure. like Rocky Romero being the dad, and he has 2 sons, and the one son is the cool son, and he does whatever he does. Rocky doesn't care. It's fine because he's the quarterback of the football team. And then there's this other guy. And Rocky clearly wants him to act like Rocky tells him to do. And if he does anything else, there will be consequences.
Wow, like I said, that's not a good look. nobody wants to be that guy.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying. Yo needs to just go back to the drawing board on this singles run. I'd say
show some attitude.
Yeah, he needs to be edgy.
Yeah, he needs to man up to his dad.
Needs to get a goth look that he comes out with.
That would be some story.
Yeah, exactly. He emos out. that's how this tournament ends. He turned on Sho.
It's all your fault, Dad.
Yeah. He did have the thing with Naito and LIJ before he left. Maybe he can adopt the goth look, join LIJ, and they can feud with Sho and Rocky, and maybe some other guy they bring in, a new young line, Kawato. Kawato's the new cool guy that he replaced with Yo with. on the fly storyline. But like I said, to me, maybe the finals of this tournament is where you want to do it with him. But I'd have him come out with new music, new gear, new finishing move, maybe change his hair up. I want all different stuff. Give him a whole new swag, because right now he's bordering on becoming just who you described, you know, and you don't want to be that. In many ways, that's even worse than the Shadow Realm, which Dookie is teetering on the edge of right now. So Yo has got to get it together in this tournament, even though I liked his match versus Ospreay.
Yo needs to evolve as well.
He needs to digivolve into Yohei, his full form. Yohei Komatsu, his full form.
Exactly. Yeah, so the tournament continues. On Wednesday, the 22nd, Kurikan Hall, main event, Will Ospreay against El Fantasmo. Semi-main, Marty Scurll versus Shinko Takagi, Ryusuke Kataguchi against Robbie Eagles, Sho versus Shinobu Kanemaru, Bushi versus Doki. Oh, Mist versus Mist.
Yeah,
Tiger Mask versus Dragon Lee, Yo versus Rocky Romero, Titan versus Jonathan Gresham. That's the match that I'm looking forward to the most on this show, and sadly, it is the third match on the show.
Yeah, that and Rocky and Yo could be a good match. That's a big match for Yo. Stand out.
Second match is Bandido versus Rena Rita, and in the opening match, we have Taichi Ishimori against Taka Michinoku. We'll have a set of four shows that will all have all tournament matches. 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, all in Kurikan Hall. The 23rd show is main evented by Dragon Lee versus Shingo Takagi. Very interesting. Final implications here. And the show on the 24th is main evented by Rocky Romero against El Fantasmo and supported by Dragon Lee versus Titan. So I'm really looking forward to that match.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan Gresham faces Taichi Ishimori on that show.
I'm very interested in that match.
Yeah. And then there's another show on the 26th from the Makuhari Messe International Exhibition Hall. All tournament matches as well. 10 matches, main event, Sho versus Taichi Ishimori. Again, final implications as well as for Will Ospreay against Robbie Eagles, I guess. And then there's another break, another 3-day break before New Japan returns to Nagoya to the formula that we have seen so far, mostly with 5 undercard tag matches and 5 best of the Super Junior singles matches. And that goes on up until the 3rd of June. The final show from Zip Arena Okayama, final block show that is. And then, of course, Ryogoku on the 5th of June with the final of the Best of the Super Junior tournament, as well as Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Jay White.
Yeah, and so far, do you have any changes to your schedule prediction of Shingo and Fantasmo so far?
No, so far I don't.
Yeah, Fantasmo's won every match so far, too. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I said, I still feel the same as well. Shingo and Ospreay, for me, I think are going to get it into the finals. And I think, you know, it should be interesting to see how that turns out and the final implication of that. Do you think anyone will beat Shingo in the block? Have you had any thoughts on that so far?
My thought is that nobody will beat him.
I think that's how it should be.
Yeah.
I hope they keep up that plan. But yeah, good stuff there, at least. Because like you said, they do have the storylines that they're keeping up with right now. One more thing. Non-tournament related about New Japan. I have to bring this up because this just happened last night. On the DDT show, they had an amazing parody video of this new knife guy that's going after Juice. And they did the exact same crap, pretty much. Completely rip-off video. On purpose, and he turns around, and it's Chris Brooks in the video for DDT, which also had an amazing Ishii versus Endo match on the show, by the way. But the video is the most important thing on there. So now that takes off Chris Brooks, you had pegged him as Oka from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think you're feeling pretty confident right now.
Yes.
Like I said, what do you think of DDT trolling New Japan? Like that. Very funny.
Very funny. Very, very good, especially trolling this knife kink that they have for whatever reason. I have no idea. We talked about that on our last show as well.
Yeah, nobody knows what that's all about. But.
No. Well, so, yeah, I thought it was funny. And I didn't expect Ospreay to be the New Japan knife guy. But Dylan, Listen to me. I always knew he was a knife pervert.
You knew Brooks was?
Yes.
You always knew?
I always knew.
You met him before?
Yes.
Yeah. And so is this secret info? Is this Patreon exclusive? Is this German exclusive info you just revealed?
I just like to troll him a bit.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Chris Brooks, he showed his face at DDT.
No, you know, I made the point that he didn't strike me as a New Japan guy, but as for a wrestler to wrestle in DDT, I think he's perfect.
Yeah, this is a good, very good fit for him. What if he's both knife guys?
That would be something.
Working agreement, Brooks double contract with DDT and New Japan.
I just think Golazzo Dan on Twitter said it very well. He said, "Real talk, it's the best that Chris Brooks is going back to Japan and especially to DDT, who's a guy who can do the big serious stuff but also enjoys a bit of nonsense, and who blends them more seamlessly than DDT? Nobody."
Well, there you go. Brooks going to DDT. So let the speculation begin on the UK knife guy, as he's known.
Yeah, I know. The other guy from the UK that has been mentioned was Chris Ridgeway, but he's going to debut with Noah, so he's out of the window as well. Yeah, so I'm going with my pick.
Yeah, you're... Okay, makes sense. I will say whoever that was in the video looked too small to be him.
That's true.
In my opinion, they could easily, that doesn't mean anything. They could easily change that. Like I said, but if you're looking for a spoiler alert, he looked a little too small to be Oka, in my opinion. I've seen people bring up Mark Haskins, too, on there.
Yeah.
And Davey Boy Smith Jr. as well, which I think would be the most interesting.
Interesting. I'd really like that because I still think that there is a Davey Boy Smith Jr. singles run in New Japan, and they just haven't picked up on it.
I don't think he really fits what they're doing right now. He's more of a serious wrestler, kind of dry, to be honest with you. He's not the big character that I think would pull this off.
Maybe it will be Teddy Hart.
Now he doesn't fit anywhere. the only thing I can say is that I think that the only reason why I would like to see that is because it is a new chance for him to do something different than just what he's doing now. We've seen him go through crazy look changes too in the past. Remember the jeans when he wore the jeans. See, so he could. This kind of seems like a jeans gimmick that he's got going on. Biker guy, but mostly I would just like to see. Honestly, I just want to see KES break up because I think they're super stale and not. They're better off apart than together.
Maybe Lance Archer is the knife guy.
He's not UK, but sure.
Well,
whoever that was in the video is definitely too small to be him.
Yeah, that's true.
Sure, why not? Any workers at the UK?
Bring it on.
I think he actually has more upside than Davey does in New Japan. If they were their pick, I think he fits what they want more. In my opinion.
Mm. Yeah. We'll see on June 5, final show of the Best of the Super Junior Tour. There will be the big reveal who it is. I kind of liked how they did this with the video. They sometimes played it after the match, and I think on Saturday or on one of the shows this weekend, they played it before the Juice Robinson match to emphasize that they tried to play with Juice Robinson's mind.
Yep. I mean, the all-important U.S. title.
Yeah.
Bringing in so many different competitors worldwide, and now they've brought in this new UK guy to come after him, whoever that may be.
UK guy becoming new US champion. Come on.
Makes perfect sense.
Yes.
For the US title.
Let's not talk about it anymore here.
Our favorite topic, US title.
Yeah. My favorite title, even ahead of the Never Openweight title.
Yes, that's a whole other story. But all topics for another time.
That's true. Yeah, so I guess we brought it all up here for the tournament so far. Or is there anything that you missed on this show that you wanted to bring in regard to New Japan Pro Wrestling?
All I say is that I hope one day we live to see Ishii get his well-deserved world title shot in the future. That's all I care about
at
right now.
At least one Ishii got his title shot.
He beat him in the G1s like 3 years ago or 2 years ago, whatever it was. He owed title shot.
Yeah, but you saw the Ishii match today, right? Did you see the match, end-to-end Ishii?
Yeah, that was an amazing match. I just told you that was a great match. Exactly. Everybody should watch.
So that's at least one Ishii is getting his due.
Yeah, he's never pushed in that company either.
No, it's the Ishii.
But he's a great worker. Like different, a lot different than New Japan's Ishii, but a great worker nonetheless.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, so if there is anything you would want us to talk about on our next show regards to New Japan Pro Wrestling or in regards to any other shows from Japan, or if there are any questions that you have, any recommendations for our upcoming Patreon shows, we're open to recommendations. You can send them in through email japan@mlw.com, or you can send them in directly by Twitter. You can go to my Twitter @Striga, STRIGGA, and of course you can also consult Dylan.
That's right, check me out at Dylan Zero Sky on Twitter, spell out the zero. You can get the whole word together. And I'll talk to you about all kinds of Japanese wrestling, Mexican wrestling, American wrestling, whatever kind of wrestling you want. I love it all. Make sure to check out the Pure Heart, Pure Lariat show. I just did the second episode. Yes. And this week I had Yappy on from Ice Ribbon's Peas Party, as she corrected me, on the podcast. And she had a very interesting story of how she started getting into wrestling, something that nobody would have expected. Striga couldn't believe it. He knew that we knew each other beforehand because I wasn't a surprise on the show.
Yeah, Dylan David gave it away.
I'm not that good of an actor that can play it that cool. But it's a very, very fun show. Yappy's an awesome person. I really enjoyed talking to her.
Yeah, very unique story.
Yeah, very unique story. And you get a lot of inside info on the Ice Ribbon Dojo and things like that she did. Sometimes, I called her, I told her this after the show, I mentioned this on Twitter. When she started talking about her workouts, you could hear me groan when I remember some of the things, because I did those too, the burpees that she talks about, and I hate those a lot. Burpees and bench press are the two workouts that I hate the most. And she gave me PBSD. Post burpee stress syndrome. Pretty much.
Listen, I gotta give you props to even that you were able to get this interview, because usually wrestlers in Japan who are either trainees or have just debuted, they get a red flag from that promotion when they are asked for interviews or even appear publicly. So props to you for getting that interview.
Yes, listen. That's before I came along the scene, Striga. Like, you're talking about the old days. When I came along, I make the change happen with me. So I contacted Tsukasa Fujimoto, the president Sato of Ice Ribbon. I told him, I said, listen, they tried to resist me, and I told him, you got to give me this interview. I want Yappy on here.
Listen, I watched the show back in the Ustream days. I'm a real guy.
Exactly. I was there on Ustream. And I was like, let me talk to Mayuki next. And they said no. And I was like, okay.
One at a time.
Like I said, I dare to dream right now. I'm down there. But yeah, honestly, Yappy was really cool. And again, like you said, it is a unique thing. She had just debuted and got put into her new tag team with the XL Breakers with Kurumi on Ice Ribbon. But really big thanks to, like, again, Tsuka Fujimoto and President Sato of Ice Ribbon for giving us the go-ahead. It was a little tricky at times, I will say, because there were some rules that had to be followed also just me and her, we just got a little too loose with each other on the show, too. So I had to tone it down a little bit for the final product. But still, it was a great show, though. A lot of people are praising it that listen to it. A lot of the Joshi fandom. And the great thing about this between her story, we talk about just Japan in general, what life is like for her there as a foreigner. I have to spoil it that I broke the wrestling business. I broke all the rules and revealed that wrestling training is hard. Wrestling's greatest secret. There's just like, if you're not a fan of Yappy or Ice Ribbon or Joshi or anything like that, you can still listen to it and gain something from it. Because like I said on the show, I did a little bit of an intro for it to set it up, but it's more like a conversation between two people than a true interview, because I just can't operate that way where, you know, I can ask questions or anything. But yes, a big thank you to Ice Ribbon's upper guys for being so gracious to Yappy. Unfortunately, I did not demand anything or anything like that. I didn't bigwig my way into it. But everybody was very cool, and Yappy's a great person. So check that out. I think that's something that everybody can enjoy if you want to give it a shot.
Exactly. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. The third show of our series of Shinya Hashimoto in New Japan Pro Wrestling is online, and there will be four more for this season of a week of Lariat show Shinya Hashimoto in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And that's been it for our show this week. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.